West Coast College Training, July 4th through 11th, Occidental, California. Title, Christ Our Portion. Morning Session 2, Message 1. Seizing the opportunity to preach the gospel during our college years. Scripture reading, John 15:4-5 and 16.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is merciful.
Amen.
Jesus will save.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We'd like to start the next line, which is entitled Effective Gospel Preaching and Shepherding on College Campuses.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the gospel. Go ahead, open your binders. Get out the pages you need. Click all the books. Amen, Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and read the general subject and then the title of the message all together, okay? Effective gospel preaching and shepherding on college campuses. Seizing the opportunity to preach the gospel during our college years. Amen. Praise the Lord for such an opportunity. I'd like to start just sharing a little bit of my personal testimony. You can just leave the outline where it is. You could just look all up at me and just have your, if I could have your full attention, just share with you a little bit of my personal testimony regarding my experience growing up as a church kid and as my experience as a college student during my college years with regard to preaching the gospel. The first time I ever had any touch with the gospel was, I think, in 6th or 7th grade. I know in 6th grade, many come to know God's full salvation and, you know, go through all of that and do go to the mountains, touch the Lord in a fresh and living way, and get baptized. And this is the start. This makes you qualified. You don't need anything else. You just need to be saved and regenerated. And then you can preach the gospel. So we are qualified at this young age, and then I know the brothers had a burden to have a gospel meeting, and so I was there, and I had a burden for a friend, and so I invited my friend, and I was really nervous, you know, really fearful, and then I invited him, would you want to come, you know, Saturday night to my young person's meeting? Oh, yeah, okay, and I was like, okay, that went really well, so he was invited, but over the next few days, I felt really afraid for some reason. And I was really, I don't know, just something within me, there was this fear, and there was kind of this shame and kind of this embarrassment. And I eventually, on Saturday, I came and I was like, I'm just not going to call him. Maybe he forgot. Maybe he forgot about the gospel meeting. I don't even want to bother with it, okay? So then eventually, right before I get a call, and it's him, and he says, so where are we going to go? I'm not sure. I don't know if I really want to, you know, it was just kind of a unknown, you know. And so then, at that time, Lord have mercy, I said, well, maybe you don't have to come this time. Maybe it's okay. I, even in my speaking, dissuaded him, right? I even kind of encouraged him. I said, maybe another time. He never came to a gospel meeting. The rest of my junior high life, my high school life, college life, now that is 16 years later, and I don't know if he's ever heard the gospel. This fear, this shame within me, took over to the point that I did not release the gospel. That stays with me to this day. Don't let a regret like that stay with you to this day. Seize the opportunity.
Amen.
I went on, and then in high school, you know, I talked to friends about the Lord. In college, I maybe said a little bit, talked about Jesus, talked about the Bible, some doctrinal things, you know. Eventually, it was another time I was with someone my junior year of college. And it was, now looking back, it was a very definite time I should have preached the gospel. But even within me, I had no sense the gospel needs to come right now. You know, I had no training, I had no sense, and I didn't preach the gospel to them. And maybe they heard a lot of spiritual, wonderful things, but they never heard the gospel to touch the Lord themselves and receive the Lord. So this is what characterizes my youth. This is what characterizes where I was right where you are. And I am very burdened for this message because I don't want that to characterize your college years. We're in the recovery, and we are recovering this matter of the gospel among us. I hope we would all be encouraged and not be fearful and not be ashamed. There are some points here that many of us may feel from time to time that would hinder us from releasing the gospel to our friends or to the ones around us. Let me just read off a few of these points, some of these fears that we have. One fear, losing your face. I had that fear. Making a fool of yourself. That's another one. Being thought of as strange or unusual. Most definitely. Losing your friends. You won't lose your friends, you'll gain real friends.
Right.
Not being qualified. Maybe this is the job of older ones, my parents, maybe even the full-timers. Just leave it to them. No, you're qualified. Once you're saved and baptized, you are qualified. Not coming across as someone pushing your religion or your beliefs on them. Maybe proselytizing someone, right? And then finally, maybe being persecuted. You're going to be persecuted because you preach the gospel. Actually, you'll be freed. Amen. So I'd like to give you one verse as a footnote to all of these points. That is Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16 says what? This is Paul speaking. And in the beginning of the book of Romans, which is the gospel of God, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel."
Amen.
I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
For it is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
To everyone who believes. Amen. Both to Jew first and to Greek. Praise the Lord for Romans 1:16.
Amen.
I know this may characterize some of our experience, but we need to touch and muse on this verse. Fear is from the devil, right? But the gospel is the power of God, the power of God unto salvation. And we should not be those who are ashamed, okay? So, praise the Lord. We are here to be trained. We have the opportunity to change the course of our college life with regard to the matter of the gospel. I'd also like to read another portion here. This is from some of the ministry. And this here, let me just stay with me. This says a little bit about the gospel. The world needs to hear the glad tidings. Many thoughtful people in the leading universities, that's where you are, the leading universities throughout the country are wondering about the meaning of human life. So many are asking themselves, what is the purpose of life? What will happen after my graduation? No one in the universities can tell them. I tell you, all the professors, they are blind leading the blind. Do not get sucked into those thoughts of what life is all about. You need to help people to lead them to know the purpose of their life.
Amen.
Okay? No one in the universities can tell them. We must go and tell them.
Amen.
The real meaning of life. I hope that after a few years, this kind of preaching will be prevailing in all the universities in the United States. If the young people will take up this burden and go to the campuses preaching this gospel, a good number of thoughtful young people will be caught. They will be satisfied. I hope that many of you reading this message, take note of this. I hope many of you will make a deal with the Lord, telling him that you are willing to be burdened for the preaching of the high gospel.
Amen.
Here we are, Lord.
Amen.
We're willing.
Amen.
Burden us for the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
If you are burdened to preach the high gospel, I believe the Lord will honor your preaching. The Lord will honor. Okay? In the whole universe, there is nothing higher than this. I am doing the most glorious work among humankind. You all must do the same thing. This is from Life Study of Hebrews, message 14. Okay? And this message was released 26 years ago. Okay? 1984. So what's our situation 26 years later? Has this been carried out yet? Maybe not to its fullest extent yet. So here we are. We are willing, we are open to the Lord, willing to be burdened, willing to be trained.
Amen.
Of course, in 1987, right after these messages were given, there was some opposition within. There was some turmoil you know, also from without. But praise the Lord, that is all cleared up today. We have no, you know, we have peace, as the brother said. We have peace in the recovery today. Don't we have peace?
Amen.
It's a wonderful situation. You can go anywhere in the earth with the gospel. You can blend with brothers anywhere. We're at peace. We're in the body. And all the problems on the outside, they are being cleared up. We have no shame to present to others the truth of the gospel, even the high gospel, okay? But there needs to be this turn. There needs to be this turn from ones who had the experience like me, right? I didn't preach the gospel or really know how to until I went to the full-time training. Praise the Lord, in the recovery, we're starting younger. Those who are in college can be trained.
Amen.
Even though some of you, I don't know, maybe in junior high, right? We have junior high perfecting trainings. It's not too early, and you're not too young. And you are actually, we'll get to this later, the best ones to preach the gospel. So Lord, let's make this turn in the recovery. We want to be the generation that brings you back. In Matthew, it says, go disciple the nations.
Amen.
Before the Lord's return, there has to be those that go. What do they go with? They go with the gospel. We want to be that generation that brings the Lord back. But we first, before that, must learn to go with the gospel. Learn to disciple the nations, baptizing them into the name of the triune God. Okay, let's get to the outline here. Let's read Roman numeral 1 all together.
Preaching the gospel should not be a work, movement, or activity, but a normal part of our daily life, our Christian living.
Amen. I'd like to bring out here that preaching the gospel should not be a work, movement, or activity. What do? I'm a campus worker. Oh, you said work. You work. No. This work that we're talking about here is a lifeless work. What we need are Christians. We need the gospel to be part of our daily life, our Christian living. Okay? So I'm a campus worker, but I don't go on the campus without being revived, without getting into life.
Amen.
Any work we carry out must be in life. And our goal is not just to get you to do even some activity or to raise up a movement. All the college students will go out, even the Christian Students Club at, what, OCC, we're going to go out, and we're going to preach the gospel for the first week. That's not the goal, just to get you riled up for a movement, right? This is what much of Christianity does. They just get a big movement. Get everyone to Angel Stadium, right? We're going to have a big movement, and we're going to get the best and most eloquent speakers, right? And then they're going to receive the Lord. And they do genuinely receive the Lord. But this is the error. The error is that, what about all of us? We don't ever learn to have the gospel as part of our normal Christian living, right? We don't just want to get riled up, go out, preach the gospel, and then forget the gospel completely. No, the gospel is part of our normal daily Christian living. Every opportunity you're contacting someone in the grocery store, that is an opportunity for the gospel. It's not just some activity you do from 12 to 2 on campus when maybe trainees or maybe full-timers come and get you to go out. We do need that to get us out of our habit and out of our rut of not preaching the gospel. So we do need that sometimes. But that is not the normal way, right? That is not the daily way. We want a normal, right? This is in point A. The normal Christian life is a life that bears fruit. So I'm talking here about the Christian living as a normal Christian, in the normal Christian life, okay? This is my real burden here. Not to have a lifeless work, some kind of big movement, or some activity apart from the Lord Himself, but to have a normal part of our daily life, our Christian life. Have the gospel be part of that, okay? There's this example here with a tree, right? Let me read this to you. Fruit-bearing is simply the issue of the tree's living. There is no need to give a command to a tree to produce its fruit. It would be foolish to say, you must be faithful and diligent to produce peaches, right? A peach tree produces fruit simply because it is a living organism.
Amen.
Only artificial fruit can be produced as a result of making requirements. If you need 1,000 artificial peaches, you may require workers to produce them in a day, but it is unnecessary to require a living peach tree to bear fruit. It would be useless to tell the it would be useless to tell it to produce fruit overnight. The Lord does not want us to produce artificial fruit. The Lord desires that we bear fruit in the way of life. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go on to read Roman numeral A altogether. The normal Christian life
is a life that bears fruit, as branches of a vine are living simply to bear fruit.
Amen. Let's read B altogether.
Being faithful to the Lord is the normal function, duty, and responsibility of every member of the body.
So we all know Brother Dick and how Brother Dick loves to preach the gospel. I would say that is very much a part of his the normal part of his daily life. But we cannot have him preach the gospel for us. We each are individually responsible. It is our duty, okay? These verses here in 1 Peter 2:5, it says, you offer spiritual sacrifices, right? Also in Romans 1:14 through 15, it says, I am a debtor, not someone else. I am a debtor. For my part, I am ready to announce the gospel. And then 1 Corinthians 9:16, necessity is laid upon me. Okay, so we see this is every one of our, this is our duty and our responsibility of every member of the body. Okay, and then let's read C. This is one of my other main burdens for this time. Let's read C altogether.
In order to preach the gospel, we must have a real love and concern for sinners, always carrying the burden for people's souls.
Amen. I know many of you were in the Isaiah training, and in Isaiah there were some really awesome verses. One that I was very touched with was Isaiah 1:4, and it says this, "Alas, sinful nation, a people heavy with iniquity, seed of evildoers, children acting corruptly. They have forsaken Jehovah. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have become estranged and have gone backward." This is God's people, the children of Israel, but you can also say this is unbelievers in the world, right? Full of iniquity, right? What else does it say? Children acting corruptly, gone backward. Is the world backward today? Do they change black for white and white for black?
Yes.
I hope if you see this, you would see the world is very backward. Yeah. Nevertheless, I tell you, God has a heart not only for his own children that are backward, he very much has a heart for the sinners that have gone backward. And you see this in Isaiah 43:4. Since you were precious in my eyes. I'd like you to see this. In the Lord's eyes, these ones that we may just lay aside, just not care for, they're precious to the Lord. The Lord created every single one of us. He created every single person in the universe. This is his creation. It is precious to him. He doesn't care for the sin and for the corruption, right? That is what he hates, but he loves the person. In his eyes, every person is precious. I'd like to touch you with this matter in Luke 10, okay? Luke 10 is this portion about the Good Samaritan. If you read this portion, look what it says. It says that there was this person that was stripped, that was beaten, and that was left for dead. And I don't get it to care. I don't care to get into the meaning of all these different things, but I want to show you this. What did the priest do? The priest was walking by, and what? The priest saw him. The priest saw him, and the priest walked by. He looked with his eyes and saw him. The Levite, he saw him. He walked by. Then the Good Samaritan came. The Good Samaritan saw him, but he was moved with compassion. Brothers and sisters, what do we see? The Lord says here, they're precious in my eyes. This is God, the Father. They're precious. The Son walks by, he's moved with compassion. But the Levite and the priest, doing an activity, doing some work for the Lord, they see him and they walk right by. He's beaten. He's stripped. He's left for dead. But they walk right by. Brothers and sisters, we cannot enter into this matter of the gospel without love. We need to touch the Lord, the compassions of the Lord, every morning. I hope you would desire earnestly in your morning revival time to learn to touch the Lord. When you touch the Lord with your spirit, you clear up your conscience. There's a way for this love of God, for the sight of God to get into your sight, to get into your mind, into your emotion, into your feeling. I'm the first one to confess that I do not have love apart from God Himself. We need to learn to open to the Lord. Look at this, Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened. We need to learn how to deal with the Lord with all the things in our heart so that we would have these eyes, the eyes of our heart. We won't just be walking to campus that day and I'm concerned for my test, I'm concerned for work, I'm concerned for what I'm going to eat. Those are our eyes just looking not beyond our nose. Your eyesight is this far. You can't see the person right next to you in class that is beaten, that is stripped, and that is left half dead. You can't do this unless you have a morning time, unless you clear up your conscience, unless you touch the love of God. This is the prayer that Brother Ron gave us in the training. Lord, I cannot do this, but You can do this in me. Infuse me with the love of God. Infuse me with the Good Samaritan. I hope we would learn to touch this matter, okay? Let's go on to read 1, 2, 3, and 4, and I'll make a few comments and soon. Okay, brothers 1.
God desires all men
to be saved. Sisters 2. Amen. Brothers 3.
We have a burden to
carry
into
this
people. The Lord
will open
the door for us to speak the gospel to them.
Amen.
We need to take up a burden to preach the gospel, not merely to win souls, but to gain more members for the building up of the body.
Amen. So you see here in 1, God has a desire for all men. And we as God's children, we need to be one with our Father. One with our Father to have these kind of eyes that our Father has, to see these ones as precious, right? And then to be burdened, okay? Burdened. And this is where I go back to the beginning. Lord, we are willing to be burdened. We like to make a deal with You, Lord. Burden us. I tell you, if you are burdened, you don't care about the words. You're burdened. That's the best thing you have for the gospel. If you have the burden, the Lord will create all the opportunities for you. Without burden, it's a drag. With burden, there's a thrust. This is really my experience. I don't have time to share more. But with no burden, it's a drag. With burden, there is a thrust. And then finally, we need to pick up the burden. And this is from Haggai here. Bring wood and build the house. This is for the building of the body. Not just for our own glory of our Christian club to get the most members, or for me to, you know, have some stars on my back, on my shoulder. I've saved this many people in college. This is all for the building of God's house. Amen. Bring wood and build the house.
Amen.
And then finally, I'd just like to leave you with a few hymns. I don't know if many of you know the hymn, The Good Samaritan, from Luke 10. Maybe if some of you know, you can teach others. But there's that hymn, The Good Samaritan, is very, very touching. I know many of you know Luke 15. There's a gospel of today. Also, I mentioned just here in this last point, 1248. That's Recall How David Swore. And then also 1294, Come Let Us Speak. We just sang that one earlier. And then 921, I love this hymn. Every time I sing stanza 3, my heart just gets stirred up within me. I get so burdened, right? Down in the human heart, this is the sinner. They've been crushed by the tempter. The world just crushes people's heart for the Lord, right? Their feelings that are buried, but grace can restore them.
Amen.
We are the bearers of grace.
Amen.
You come and you infuse grace into this sinner.
Amen.
But you need to have that loving heart. Touched by a loving heart. Wakened by kindness. Lord, revive us every morning to have this loving heart. What's the issue? cords that were broken, cords that the enemy broke, and this person could never make a joyful sound. Those cords that were broken will vibrate once more.
Amen.
Rescue the perishing.
Amen.
Care for the dying.
Amen.
Jesus is merciful.
Amen.
Jesus will save.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and read the title again, and maybe we can have all the freshmen stand up. And let's have all the freshmen going into college for their freshman year read the title, Seizing the Opportunity. Okay, stand and read.
Seizing the opportunity to preach the gospel during our college years.
Now, how about staying standing? How about read the focus? Amen. Praise the Lord for the freshmen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, just to follow our brother sharing, I just like to, you know, looking at the outline here, for you to circle a few things. One is on the overall title on the matter of the gospel is circle effective. Effective gospel preaching. So as our brother is opened up, I believe the Lord is helping us to advance in our gospel preaching. So we're not here just talking about gospel preaching generally, but we're now burdened that we would enter into an effective gospel preaching.
Amen.
And what we like you all to see in a fresh way is that the effective gospel preaching takes place on your college campus. And that in order to have the effective gospel preaching, it takes place by you, the college students. And so... You know, I like to also to circle. I think our brother sharing is very good. Then in the matter of preaching the gospel, it's not a work or a movement, but it's something normal. It's a normal Christian life. Circle normal. It is normal in our Christian life to be a person who is preaching the gospel.
Amen.
It's not some extraordinary activity. It's not a movement or a kind of work. It is our normal living. So the Lord, this week in this training, is helping us to become normal. Okay? And then circle love. Right? The Lord needs to touch our heart to give us His love for man. And we love man because God loves man. Man is created in His image. And these are the ones that which it's God's heart's desire. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to become members of His body. So just as our brother said, and I think including from my sharing, is that I hope we will all have a time with the Lord and open to Him and say, Lord, I am willing. Make me burdened for the gospel.
Amen.
Put this burden into my heart that I could be a normal Christian and who is burdened for man.
Amen.
Now for my part, I'm going to be covering Roman numeral 2. Now in the title, I want you to circle Seizing the Opportunity. There is a particular opportunity that you all as college students have while you're in college.
Amen.
So how about we read Roman numeral 2 together, okay?
All years are in need
Now I'd like you to open up to John chapter 4, this verse 435. I want you to look at this verse. And my preparation is fresh to me. And so I like to have all of us open up and read it. And keep it open because we'll read later on verse 38. So John chapter 4, verse 35. How about we read that together? The instant word the Lord gave me is this: lift up your eyes. That's my first burden. Lift up your eyes. We'd like you to lift up your eyes and see something. You know, when I was, I didn't get saved until I was a senior in college. And so when I went to school, I remember very much as a freshman coming in, anticipating college. They told me it's hard, so I was going to study. And I just heard a lot of things, and I'm anticipating kind of a new beginning. And, you know, even for the college students, you kind of get into your situation, what classes I need to take, what do I need to do? I need to do an intern, do I need to do research? And so we get very involved with our own situation. And here I'm in college, and for some, maybe it's, for the freshman who stood up, newfound freedom. I'm out of my parents' house, I can do some things I can never do. For many in the world, it's time to go and party. It's going to have a good time. I'm going to live life. And so they're wrapped up in their own situation. They're kind of like a frog in a well. I just see my situation and my experience for college. And now for you, applying to you, what I like you to do is just look up. Don't look at your own situation, your own experience. Just look up and look at the fields. And the fields are the campuses. It is your campus that you're going to, and that field is white.
Amen.
It is ripe. It is ready for a harvest. And so this kind of experience of looking up will give you a whole new view. And I hope you can have a whole new view, a renewed view, to see that you're going into a situation that is ripe and ready for harvest.
Amen.
And then the other verse, how about brothers, read verse 36 and sisters 37, okay? Sisters.
For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps.
And together 38.
I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor.
Another instant word for me was, I sent you. You're going to college isn't by your own volition, your own decision. I'm going to this college. No, the Lord is sending you.
Amen.
That means, you know, an apostle means you're a sent one. So Apostle Cephas, the Lord has sent you to Irvine.
Amen.
Right? The Lord has sent you. You are a sent one.
Amen.
As a college student, you're going to college. You are a sent one.
Amen.
And the Lord's word to you is, I have sent you.
Amen.
Into a field that is ripe and ready to harvest.
Amen.
And you are the right one to go and harvest it.
Amen.
So the Lord has sent you.
Amen.
So the Lord's word is lift up your eyes and look. And once you look, how can you not be burdened for the situation? And that's why I'd like to talk to you a little bit about how white the fields are at your campus. You know, and I just like to kind of give a little illustration. I don't know if this will work well or not. Just to help give you a little more feeling about this is, you know, there's illustrations to this, it's not a true story. At Best Buy, there is a sale, a door-breaking sale, that you can go in and you buy any laptop or PC or anything you want for $50. But it has to be the first 550 people. First 50 people, right? It's a door-breaking sale at Best Buy to get a laptop or anything you want, okay? Now, let's say you wake up one morning and say, you know, today I want to go buy a laptop. And you go into Best Buy, and you go in there, and then you find out that there had already been 50 people had come, and they had gotten a laptop for $50. And now for you, it's closed. No more opportunity. You have to pay the full price, whatever, $500 for this kind of laptop. How do you feel? Ah! I missed it! I didn't even know! And so I'm trying to help you get a little feeling of what it is like. You're in college. You have a golden opportunity to get a laptop for $50.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? As a college student, it is a golden opportunity. You are the ones most effective in the gospel to gain other college students. And I know I heard testimonies of trainees who have regretted the opportunity of preaching the gospel. They waited, oh, I'll wait till I go to the training. And then when they go to the training, they go up and talk to a student on campus and they go, are you a student here? Their heart sinks, right?
Yeah.
They realize, I lost the opportunity. You know, just I like to reread this verse in this way, in an applied way. The Lord says, do you not say that there are 4 years and then the full-time training comes? Right? Maybe some of you say, oh, the gospel, I'll put it off until the full-time training. Then I'll preach the gospel. No. It says, behold, I tell you, lift up your eyes. Amen. Right? That's the words, Lord's words to you. Lift up your eyes. Amen. Right now is the opportunity for you, and especially the freshmen, to preach the gospel. Because you are the most effective ones. So what I'd like to do now, let's read points A and B. And I'd like to talk a little bit why it's the most effective. Okay? So how about sisters A and brothers B? Brothers B. I'm going to try to write big enough. I'm going to write a little on the board or on this paper. First, I want you to circle open and unoccupied. Okay? There are no other group of people that is as open and unoccupied as college students. You might say, well, I'm pretty occupied. There's a lot of things in my life. Well, if you go to compare to someone, a general person in the community, how many kids do you have? Do you have a mortgage? How about a demanding job? You go to someone just generally, a random person in a community, is they have a lot more occupying factors. And because of that, their heart is more hardened. And so you bring the gospel to them, they say, I have no time for this. I have no time. But if you go to a college student, there is a lot more openness. They are unoccupied. They're occupied maybe with games or sports, but these are trivial things. There is a lot of openness in them about what is the meaning of life and what am I going to give my life to, right? Okay, the other word I want you to circle is gathered, okay, under point A, gathered. These open and unoccupied vessels are gathered. And I don't know, I didn't do the numbers, I know it's been come across, but there are probably millions of these open and unoccupied people gathered on campuses all over the U.S. And I like to just go around and ask, how many students are on your campus? At UCI, there's 25,000. At UCLA, 35,000. Go to campus by campus by campus, even here in Southern California, where I'm from, there's probably more than hundreds of thousands of these open, unoccupied vessels all gathered in the same place where you are. And they're so available right there before you. Right? If you compare, and this impressed me, 200 years ago, all these open, unoccupied young people were scattered on farms. And it would be, if you wanted to preach the gospel, you have to go from farm to farm. Right? It would be very difficult. But now today, this is God's arrangement. Is he now has arranged a way, and there is such a culture, that everyone, most everyone, goes to college. And so these ones are gathered right at the prime time when they're open. And they're gathered together and they're put in your classroom. They're put right there on your campus. Golden opportunity, right? Okay, and then the other word is on point B, is easy to change in mind. I don't put... easy to change mind. There's an expression, you can't teach old dogs new tricks, right? These ones are young, and so they don't have a baggage of concepts as much as older person like myself. You know, and this is common knowledge. It's funny, when I go down and there's all these tables and people are passing out flyers, I can now today, I can go through all that and no one will even look at me. Because they go, this man is a lost case. He's occupied, he's old, he's not interested in anything I'll give him. But I walked with some who are freshmen and everyone, here, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. Because they know someone who's young, they are open and they're easy to change mind. someone is easy to have them have a turn. The Lord has a way in them because there isn't so much occupying them. Now, these are generalizations. You know, myself, I came into the church life as a senior in college. But there is something about being young that the Lord has a way. And the last point I'd just like to point out, it's not in the outline, is I'll say the Lord's move is with young people. Whenever the Lord wants to do something new on the earth, He raises up young people. When the Lord was on the earth, the disciples that He called were young fishermen. Even they were still working with their father, and He called them to follow Him. And I don't have time to develop this, but you read throughout it again and again. When the Lord was going to do something new, it is with the young ones that the Lord does something. And so this is another reason why our effective gospel preaching is with the young ones. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is going to draw a circle here. And sorry, I don't know how much you can see this. I'll just do the best I can. So the first circle is our target. So what I'm going to show you is show you the target of our gospel preaching. Number one is human beings. Okay? Right? We don't go preaching to the trees. I mean, we can for practice, and sometimes it's good to do that. But for effective gospel preaching, you got to target human beings. Right? The Lord wants to save human beings. And with Him, there's no respect of persons. I like to emphasize that because it sounds like I'm maybe emphasizing a certain group of people. With the Lord, there is no respect of persons. He loves all of mankind. Amen. And desires all men to be saved. Amen. But here, we're looking at, we want to be effective in our gospel preaching to gain material for His building. Okay, so and for the reasons I mentioned up there, we gotta zoom in our target a little finer. Is a circle, and now we'll have college students. Okay, these college students are gathered on campuses where you are. And they're open and unoccupied. They're easy to change their mind. And the Lord has a way with them to have His move. So we got to target our gospel on these college students. The reason I'm serving full-time, because I see something here, that to be effective in the gospel preaching, I need to target my gospel on college students. That's why I love you all, right? Well, then, now we got to get more precise. We realize as college students, there's different levels. One of my different levels is, for example, someone you talk to a senior, it's different than you talk to a freshman. A senior typically is more occupied than a freshman. So now, the next getting more fine in our target is that we have to aim at the freshman. Oops, sorry. Excuse my spelling. The freshmen, that's why we have the freshmen stand up. Now, who are the best ones to contact these freshmen? Freshmen. Now, you see where we're going with this, right? You guys are brilliant. You know, these freshmen, they lived at home, whether in a good situation, bad situation, whether in a Christian home or not. But now they're coming out of that and they're coming to college. And they're looking for a new group of people to make friends with. They are homeless or kind of, you know, homesick. So there is an opportunity with these ones to contact them and they're open. Then I'll put one more. Now there's even among the freshmen, you got to be more precise. Among these freshmen, more precise. Because when you talk to a freshman at the end of their first year, it's different than when you talk to them at the beginning. In fact, it's different when you talk to them, be the first person who you meet on campus. So I have this word, orientees. Orientees. Sorry, I got to put it up here. Okay, orientees. You know what those are? The freshmen should know. Did you have to go to your campus for orientation? This is the orientees. These are the freshmen who are coming to the campus the first time. And when you are the first ones to meet them, that is the best opportunity for them to be connected to you and for you to present the gospel to them. Okay, so now saying that, how about we look at point C? Okay? Amen. How about the freshmen read point C? So, this may be contrary to your original concept. Your concept is maybe ones like myself, the full-timers, full of experience, they are the best ones to preach with. They're full of the truth. And yes, we need to be full of truth. But I like to emphasize, the best ones are the freshmen. I had an experience. I went into a dorm to help move in, and I was paired up with a freshman student at that time. And when I went there, we were helping people. With him, everyone was so happy to see him. Even he saw some of his friends from high school. And other people were so responsible to him. The only people who responded to me were the parents. Asking me, why are you here? And that's, you know, it was night and day difference. Everyone was so responsible, so comfortable with this freshman. They were amazed and another freshman's helping them move in. And the older person, they were respectful. And okay, he's here, but it wasn't a connection there. It's the freshmen. It's the freshmen are the ones who are the best. And so what I'd like to do is give a little illustration to help. You know, this matter of preaching the gospel, and this will be developed over the next few days, is not something you do individually. It's not me as an individual, overcomer me, will preach the gospel and be faithful to the end. But this is really seen as a group, a vital group. You with your companion. And so what I like to do is bother some of the brothers in the front. I know you're writing notes. Can I take you? Take you, and you can stand right here. So here's brother, you're a freshman coming to college. Okay. Now he needs a companion, right? So brother, you're gonna be his companion. Okay. So he's maybe a sophomore, a junior, very experienced. And so these brothers are companions. Okay? So now, this brother is paired up with another, and they're a burden for the students on the campus. And so he's not by himself. But now there's more people involved. So Charles, why don't you come up and get behind him. Okay, Charles is our dear full-timer, a serving brother on the campus. He is related with these brothers. He loves these brothers. They're together. They pray together, coordinate together. Amen. Okay, a little older, a little more experience, and then I'll get Stephen up here. Okay, and then Brother Stephen here has a home, and this brother gets into his home and is connected, and they love one another. They're all in their home meeting together, right?
All right.
Okay. So this is a whole little group, and you know, I'm just kind of speaking an ideal situation. Every campus is a little different, but here's a brother, and he is connected. He is vital with ones in the church life. And so now we need a freshman, another student. Okay, it's you. Okay, you need to get in the front. This is really... Okay, you get over here. Okay, right there. And you come over here and you meet him.
Hi.
You know, he feels so comfortable. Why? Because they're the birds of the same feather, right? He says, oh, they like each other. They play basketball or something, right? They're commonality. They're both freshmen. And he goes, yeah, that's great. Let's hang out together. And then he says, oh, let me introduce my friend, Andrew. Oh, great. You get to meet Andrew and you guys have lunch together. And so now he's starting to get connected with your group, starting to get connected. And then, he said, oh, let me introduce another friend. Oh, he's a little older. But, you know, he's cool because he's connected to him. And then this one, he has some truth. Well, he opens up the word, and now he's starting to get fed. And now, you know what it is? He is effectively preaching the gospel. Amen. And so we see in this situation, stand back up here, is that, and you'll probably hear this again, is that he is the face. Yeah. Or you can say he is the skin. You know, the skin is what we see outwardly. But inside you are some internal organs that are supporting the skin. And so the students, including particularly the freshmen, are the skin of the body.
Amen.
And they're the ones who come in first contact with. They're the ones whom they see. And they're attracted. They can relate. They're comfortable. Okay, now that's good. I think you got the point, Greg. You all can sit down. And then, but you're not by yourself. You have all the internal organs supplying. The whole body is related together. And there is a supply that you get from the older saints who are with you, who are coordinating and praying together. And then this person comes in, and it's so easy and it's so effective for them to be gained as remaining fruit. All right, so you see the picture here a little bit? Is that you're the ones in the front because you can connect with these ones, these other college students. See, if I can go and preach the gospel, and we've done this for years, and it's hard. You know, if Charles were to go to meet this freshman, it would have been a certain relationship. Maybe he'd be open, maybe not. It's a hit and miss. Some people are open, some are not. But with him, it's going to be, there is a relatedness, there is a commonality, and then there is a way. There's an open door for the gospel to get in, right? And so this one can be gained. Okay, so I got to take care of time. There's one point I just like to mention is this, is to take care of one other component of people. This is a particular word for the freshmen, but this applies to everyone, is that as we are being grouped in the church life, we have to take care of the fact that we are grouped in, I don't know how it's who are maybe not in the church, have a cluster of family, relatives that don't know the Lord. And, you know, the vine, the fruit always come in clusters. You ever notice that, right? It's always a cluster of grapes. And there's something the Lord's opening our eyes to see, that the Lord gains fruit by clusters. And that we have to see the people we contact, and they have to see ourselves are a cluster. And we have connections with a lot of people who have developed a trust relationship. They're open to us. And so I almost put one more circle. I kind of messed up here. Sorry. One more circle is, I'm just going to put down your friends. Okay? Your friends. These are people you are related with. That should be a target. What about your friends? What about the friends who are coming with you to your campus? Or how about your friends going to another campus? Don't you think that there would be an open door because they know you, that they would be open to the saints? We should have this with our vital group, much prayer for our friends. Because this right here is something the Lord has given you a cluster to which you can then open to the Lord and say, Lord, how about among these ones? How about you do something among these ones? So don't forget your friends. I think I got to take care of time. How about we point D, okay? Amen. Amen. So I just like to infuse you with something. When school begins, you got to forget everything. Forget about class. Well, in the beginning, there's no homework or anything, right? What you got to do is grab the opportunity to get the new students. And I like to just infuse this because in the summer, there should be a preparation by your campus, maybe some prayer, you're coordinating together. How can we get these freshmen? How can I be the first one to meet them? Because that may be your golden opportunity for these ones to be gained for the church life. And so, you know, the feeling is like this. There's an illustration that Brother Lee has spoken of much. It's kind of like you're harvesting barley. And, you know, he shared it this way. You know, there's this narrow window of opportunity. When the barley is ripe, you got to go harvest the barley before the head drops. I have no idea what this means. But, you know, before the head drops, after that, it's too late. There's just a narrow window of opportunity. And at that time, the farmers, they drop everything. They're sick. They go out. They got to get the barley. Otherwise, they'll have no food. They got to get the barley before the head drops. So he shares, you don't understand. You don't do anything else. You got to harvest the barley before the head drops. And our brother kind of, I really appreciate it. These freshmen, kind of an illustration. First day they come to campus, their head is up. They're happy. And then you give them a tract, they're open to you. They receive the tract and they're so open, you know, responsive. Right. Almost the next day, in fact, UCI is like this, the next day, their heads down, headphones on, and they're just walking through. You try to approach them, they ignore you. One day, heads drop. At UCI, first day, Monday, we have about 200 names sign up. So everyone's open, get so many names, so many ones who are responsive to you. Second day, we get 10. Because that's it. There's a narrow window of opportunity. So I hope you can just open and let the Lord bother you, right? Seize the opportunity. There's a narrow window of these vessels being wide open. It's been prepared by the Lord for them to come. They're wide open. You got to get them. You got it? Are you going to go get them? Okay. That's time. I have to finish. How about we just read the focus together, okay? Amen.